So Rosh Hashanah is in itself a very interesting day. And it's very interesting, those that were here, Shana Aleph, but anybody, you all were in Shana Aleph programs. So you understand that you probably experienced a Rosh Hashanah that was different than any Rosh Hashanah of your entire life. I imagine, by the way, in TVA, it was the same. All right, I'm sure it is as well. It's like magical. And I mean it. It's amazing. And now you're a little bit more mature. And hopefully you're thinking about, wow, I remember that Rosh Hashanah experience. You know, this is going to be great. And again, there's going to be, we're all, of course, in COVID, and things are different. Corona, who's going to be here, what's going to be, capsules and this and all that stuff, whatever. But one central question, which sounds a little bit strange to ask, is what should my feeling be like on Rosh Hashanah? There seems to be a duality of this day is like the scariest day of the year. God is judging me. Oh my God. And on the other hand, it seems like somewhat of a happy day. We have fancy meals. We dress very nicely. So which one is it? And you will find, if you don't remember this from last year, it will happen this year, there will be people in shul crying. Very strange, because, you know, maybe when you're in America or you're in England or you're in Germany, first time I could say that, or you're, right, or you're in, you know, Canada, Toronto, they're part of each other. Poland, I said? I said, I'm sorry, Warsaw, close enough. So where my grandparents are from. Okay, thank you. Sorry, I said Germany. Warsaw. So there will be people every so often, you might not have experienced people in shul crying. And then all of a sudden you come to yeshiva, although it might be different this year with not as many community members in Rabbeim, maybe, I don't know, people cry. But is it appropriate to cry? And let me explain to you the machlokas, which I actually don't think is the machlokas, and I'll explain to you why. Nehemiah, the beautiful book of Nehemiah, Perichet, has the absolute stranger story. Because we think in our minds, like we're the worst generation. Or some of you guys probably think, oh, I'm the worst. You know, nobody did more avarice than I did. Like, I was the kid, you know, like, come on. So here's the story. The Jews of the time, Ezra and Nehemiah, the Nevi'im, see the Jews of the time and they go to them and they don't know what's going on. They don't know anything about Judaism. And they take out a Sefer Torah and they open it and start reading it. And everybody starts crying because they've never seen a Sefer Torah before. And the Pesukim say that they start reading it, they start crying, and the Navi says, V'al tifchu, don't cry. Ki bochin kol ha'am. Ki shoyim mizdivri ha'toyro. They said, oh my God, how far have we gone? It was a tremendous story. It's an unbelievable story I heard years ago. Unfortunately, since we have the majority, well over a majority of Leibel Chayal guys here, so there's a pastime after the army, if you're Israeli for sure, the pastime is that you've reached, right, you write a passage, you go to Thailand. You, right? Some people go to other places, Mozambique and Zimbabwe, whatever. You go somewhere where Judaism is not as popular as it is in the country that they came from. And there was a guy who, unfortunately, for him, was actually, you know, went off the derech. He was somewhat from, I believe. And he goes to, I believe it was Thailand, but it could be any of those countries. And he's way off the derech. Bars, drink, you know, all that, all the fun stuff, you know, clubs and that. And it's one day, and he hears a distinct sound. And the sound goes over again. And he's like, what is that sound? It reminds me of like everything. There's something about it. And he can't explain why it bothers him so much. This is obviously after some time that he's been there, right? And he hasn't forgotten. He's Israeli. Israelis generally know a lot about it. He's been there for a few years. He, for some reason, leaves the bar and he starts walking around to try to, and he hears this sound again. And he starts following the sound. And finally, of course, who of course is going to be there? A Chabad rabbi, a shaliach. And he's there. And he stops him and he says, what's going on? What are you blowing the shofar for? It's Rosh Hashanah? He says, no, Rosh Hashanah. He says, it's the end of Yom Kippur. And his heart dropped. He said, I didn't even know it was, like, I didn't know about, it's the end of Yom Kippur. I mean, he's been eating and drinking God knows what. And it bothered him. And he clinged on to this rabbi as he tells him the story. And he says that, and he cries. And he said, I'm so off. Forget about the debt. Because I went to find the right religion. That's why I came here, right? And he went to the you know, whatever, the Dalai Lama, whatever you got. And he went, and nobody answered his questions. And he just said, forget it. Religion's not for me. And whatever. The story goes, he became but right. And that was me. You know? And now I from the army, I not anymore, but now I religious, Jewish, you know, whatever. No, okay. So these, they don't know what is going on. They see the Torah, they don't know what it is. And he says to them, wait, stop crying. Go home and have fatty foods and drink sweet drinks. V'shalchu manot. Do mishalch manos. Why? It's a holy day today. La adoneinu. V'al titzatzvu, don't be sad. Ki chedvat Hashem. So a very special day. Rashi's like, what does it mean, hayom kadosh? Says Rashi, ki hayom hu Rosh Hashanah. Forget about the Torah they took out. They didn't even know it was Rosh Hashanah. They realized that when he started reading the Torah, and they purposely opened it to the right place, they go, we don't do this anymore. We don't even know about this. You know, outside of Eretz Yisrael, we have a concept more than in Eretz Yisrael, Baruch Hashem, called Tinok Shenishma. It's really a Gemara term. Tinok Shenishma literally means a captive, right? A kid that was taken captive. The Holocaust. Warsaw. Right? People were taking Nebuch, the little kids, they were put into the monastery. They didn't know it. No, you can't say that there's any, you can't comment on them and say, wow, I can't believe that guy's not from. Like, it was brought up by cricket. Fine. So, they didn't know any better. But what's amazing is, we see that it's Rosh Hashanah, and there's something special where Nehemiah, Ezra and Nehemiah say, wait, don't cry. This is not a day of crying. It's a happy day. It's Rosh Hashanah. So on one hand, we say, oh my God, we have an amazing opportunity on Rosh Hashanah. Now, the truth is, Rav Soloveitchik says, you know who's judged on Rosh Hashanah? Every Ram, Kol Bayi Olam. But we're the only ones who know about it. The Jews are lucky, right? Rav Soloveitchik said, there wouldn't be as much anti-Semitism if the non-Jews understood that we're not only we're davening actually for the world. Right? When we daven for the end of Corona, it's not just for us. It's for the world. If they knew how much we daven for them, they probably wouldn't be, right? Especially in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, right? Times of Yontif, and Sukkot, Karbonos that we would bring for all the nations. In any case, so we see from here that this is an unbelievable special day. We're so lucky to have it. The king is giving us a private, right? And we have a chiyuv, by the way. You have to dress appropriately for the day. Many hold that you have to dress nice, and then you would dress up on Shabbos. My Shana Aleph, I had a very strange experience. I will never forget the experience. So it was right before Rosh Hashanah came the time I needed to get a haircut. I had a lot more hair then. And I needed to get a haircut. So I don't know what to do. I went to a yeshiva that was in the Old City. And I asked around. And they said, oh, you can go right outside the Old City. There's a guy who cuts hair. Fine. So I go into this barbershop. You can imagine it's Rosh Hashanah. There's a number of people online. I wait my turn. And the next person online is an older man. And he's talking to the barber. And he says, I need your help. He goes, I have a really important meeting. A really important meeting with the king tonight. I will pay you double if you give me a really miyuchat special haircut. Oh, this is a little cute, little bedtime story you tell your kids. Except the barber's totally playing the game with him. He's like, really? You have a meeting with the king today? And this is going like back and forth. And I'm like, okay, this is cuckoo land. This is like, no. I go, I'm like, I'm not paying double. I want the half price, you know, half a king, like whatever. But that's the reaction. Holy cow, we have such a great opportunity. That's the one side. The second side is the Gemara. The Gemara asks a great question. We know that every single yontif that we have, we say halal, right? Especially here in Leva Torah. Oh, if you haven't experienced yet, the halal is quite long. I know that Rabbi Yair's halal is, right? It's amazing, right? Hours. So the Gemara asks, Rosh Hashanah daf lamed bet, why is there no halal in Rosh Hashanah? I don't understand. Every other yontif, there is. But chal the Rosh Hashanah, the lekha halal, my time, I'm a Rav Avo. Malachi Ashareis go to the Grona Shalom. It says, Ribbono Shalom, Mivnei Ma'ayin Omrim Shira. Look at the Jews. They're being judged today, and they're not saying hallel. They don't love you. They're not singing all those great songs. Says the Gemara. I love when this says, ready? Amar Lahem, Hashem answers them and says, Efshar Melech Yoshev Al Kisei Din, V'Sifrei Mason, V'Sifrei Chaim Poskel Nefanecha, V'Yisraelim Shira. Are you crazy? You're going to stop singing songs? I'm judging you today. I got the books open. I got one book called Sifrei Chaim and one book called The Opposite. Are you crazy? This week's Parshas Kisavo? The Brachos and the Klolos. Let's remember, there are a lot of Brachos also. Let's also remember those Brachos talk about living here in Eretz Yisrael. Lev L'Chayal. Okay, good poll. Yeah. the brachas. And they're the opposite. But comes along the Gemara, and the Gemara, I'm not trying to convince you. The Gemara says, sorry. The Gemara says, how can you say halal on this day? Seemingly, I'm now embellishing. You think it's a happy day? He says to the Malachim, it's crazy day. God's judging you. There's this whole shilas you know on Rosh Hashanah. Everybody knows this because if you're, you know, can you sleep on Rosh Hashanah? And on what, right? Everybody talks about it. You can't, if you sleep on Rosh Hashanah, you're going to have a sleepy year. I would love to have a sleepy year. I don't sleep at all. Right? Well, I don't understand. What does it mean? So the explanation is as follows. How can it be that on Rosh Hashanah, you're going to actually, it doesn't make sense to me. You're going to sleep when God's judging you and not be Isaac and good things? Use your time wisely. Now, it happens to be.
Don't we say that we know it's our Father who's going to judge us wisely?
It's interesting because we do say, look, again, we have a concept called Eim Tzoim Chemal Anes. We don't rely on a miracle. And if you're anyone like me, and I'm not accusing you that you are, you know that, you know, he really does not, I don't deserve the good judgment. Yes, there's rachamim, and that's why he gives us the extra 10 days of tshuva, but it's scary, yes.
If we say Hashem always forgives us for anything we've done, then why are we being judged?
Because you didn't do tshuva. Right, exactly. You have to do, a person has to do tshuva properly in order to get forgiven, number one, and number two, that's only mitzvahs ben adam l'makom. If you've wronged your friend, famous Gemara, en yokim mechaper, mikol chatoseim lifnei Hashem. One could argue, according to one sheet in the Gemara, this is what the commentary on the Ein Yaakov says, the riff on the Ein Yaakov says, mikol chatoseim lifnei Hashem, says if you're not lifnei Hashem, meaning if you come into Yom Kippur and you haven't wronged the rights with your friends, God doesn't even forgive you for the tshuva you did with him, with you eating non-kosher and with you hanging out with girls and all that great stuff. Yeah.
But I'm just going to argue with the premise.
Please, go ahead. I love
God
it.
God doesn't always forgive us for everything we've done.
Meaning,
sometimes
go ahead.
We die. Like it happens. There are punishments.
Right. Now, so you're... you're... Excellent question. First of all, the question is, do you have the appropriate assumption? Is the assumption that if I die, that shows that I was a bad person, right? I've never been to a funeral yet. I've never been to a funeral where we go to the funeral and they're like, well, I mean, look what happened. Grandma died. She was 98 years old. She must have done some pretty bad averas to die.
I mean,
right?
She just did things as well.
What?
She just did things as well. She died.
Right. We don't... Wait.
She must have had a good life.
Right. We don't necessarily believe that death is a bad thing. Right?
Right.
What we do believe, and I'm not arguing you're wrong, I'm not necessarily saying you're wrong. We do believe there's kaparas avonos, and we do believe that things happen here. And yes, sometimes, but we can never explain the death of the righteous. We can never explain why people died, why this one died of corona. We just had a wedding on our block, Nebuch. Not Nebuch on the wedding. It's good to be married, according to some. But no. It's a sheet. But this couple got married on our block, and the boy who comes from America, Nebuch, his father died a few months ago of COVID. Such a young father. What a terrible thing. So we can't ask questions necessarily, but you're correcting what you're saying. Are we doing, you know, I'll tell you a really funny story. I apologize if I'm going off the derech a little bit. What?
Are you allowed to get married during
Avelos? You are allowed to if you're the one getting married, we allow it. After Shloshim, probably.
Wait, watch. You're allowed to watch.
It doesn't. I mean, it would override it. Not the entire. No, not all the things are. You still have to avail. You still have to do Avelos. Avelos doesn't necessarily contradict each other.
Okay.
So there's a unbelievable story. And just to explain to you, because you brought up the topic of tshuva. This will also bring up the topic of, again, what we're discussing, the happiness of it. So there's, I love this story so much. It's a crazy story. I thought maybe it wasn't true. I researched the story a lot, and I know the story is true, but it doesn't sound right. There used to be a former president. His name is Bill Clinton.
Oh. Yeah.
Let's not forget, talking about tshuva. So Bill did some bad things, by the way, and the what he was accused of was actually with a Jewish girl. And after he did this, he wanted to do quote unquote tshuva, so he had a prayer breakfast. He invited all different denominations, priests, imams, rabbis, to pray together with him, right? Maybe that he should get kapara savonis. I don't know what to say.
One of the religions is right.
So one of the rabbis that were invited is a rabbi by the name of Rabbi Pele, I believe his name is, if I remember correctly. This is off the top of my head. He is not a Orthodox rabbi, and he writes about this.
Were there any Orthodox rabbis there?
No, not to my knowledge. I could be wrong. That part of it I didn't read. So this rabbi now is deciding to himself, like, what do you do? You're going to have yechidus with this. With this guy, I don't want to say maneuver, but yeah.
Well, what's the problem with that?
And no, listen. Should he say something? Right? Should he say, like, I've never met, you know, any presidents, but you know, when you, my brother-in-law, when he met President Bush, like, what are you going to say in that minute? You have something to say. You meet the Queen of England, like, can you say something? Right? Right? You meet a Mahavdil Afdi Abdullah, you meet a Hasidic Rebbe, and you have a few minutes with it. What do you say? So he says, why am I being called here? I really should say to him, like, dude, you got to do tshuva, what you did. It's so terrible. I'm with the Jewish girl. And they stand in line to shake hands. And he says, I don't know what came over me. I shake his hand and I look at him. And he goes, Mr. President, you need to do tshuva. Now, he doesn't know what tshuva is. Pretty stupid stern. And Bill Clinton looks back. And he's so flabbergasted with the words he just said, the rabbi. He can't answer. And Bill Clinton, this is 100% true, looks at him and he says, but rabbi, what type of tshuva do I have to do? Rav Cook's tshuva?
What?
Or Rav Soloveitchik's tshuva?
You're joking.
Now, I'm joking. Look it up. It's 100% true. I spoke to a rabbi. No. So Bill Clinton says...
How does he know that?
Bill Clinton... So this rabbi's like...
He did his research.
Oh my God. Now the rabbi, thank God, knows these types of tshuvas. And he says, well, for you... And I'll explain what I mean. For you, Rav Cook's tshuva will be sufficient. Wait, we're not done yet. Bill Clinton says, really? My understanding is that most people hold...
Is there one?
No. Most people are of the opinion that Rav Soloveitchik's tshuva is the true tshuva you need to do complete kapara savonis. You know, again, I'm obviously embellishing a little bit. So what's the back end of the story? The back end of the story is the following. I'm going to explain. The back end of the story is Bill Clinton going to yeshiva. He had many discussions with different rabbis. One of the very close rabbis that he has letters, in fact, he wrote a book about it, is Rabbi Ganak. He was very close with Bill Clinton, and they wrote back and forth. And at some point, I assume, there was a discussion between the two types of tshuva. And this is actually, I'm not just bringing you stories, guys. This is pertinent to what we're talking about. Rav Cook's tshuva is a great tshuva for us, right? It's a much more flowery tshuva. It's like, just come on, try your best. Come on. Just, you have a desire to do tshuva? That's what the time of Elul is. Do shu Hashem b'yimotze? Shkoyach. And by the way, that makes Rosh Hashanah such a happy day. Because I showed up. God, I'm here. Right? I'm sure we all come from shuls that there are different types of people there Rosh Hashanah than you see the whole year. Right? You know, you sit in the back and, right? And the Yuntz Yer Jews. And they're sitting there and you're like, right? Because they think that that's it. Check. I was here. Okay, they may talk the whole davening. That's great. They're here. I was here. That's Rav Cook. Again, it's very extensive. I'm not talking. Rav Cook writes. He has a whole sefer, right? Gerit HaTshuva. He writes a lot about it. But basically, in the basic idea, I'm very much summarizing and really dumbing it down. But it's not as strict as Rav Soloveitchik, who basically all he does is use the Rambam. And if you look at Rambam Hilchos Tshuva, which is accustomed to learn during Chodesh Elul, not at least during Aseret Yemei Tshuva, it's real extreme, Rambam's Tshuva.
Like
right? We have, to get true kapara, there's vidui, there's admitting the sin, there's going back to the same place that you did the sin and not doing it again, being enticed again and not doing it. There's all these levels, right? It's almost like a, you know, 11-step program, whatever, right? Right, yeah, right. Step one is admitting. So Rav Cook's like, step one, that's good. And there's a lot of Torah on that. And again, not for now, but that's almost like what we're talking about. The second type of the Rambam's tshuva, I'm scared to death. I'm crying like anything. I'm dead. And especially when I get more mature, right? Your Shana Bek is like, oh my God, right? How have I used my time during COVID? Oh my God, I'm in trouble. So which one is it? Comes along the Gra, and I'm not necessarily doing these sources in order. The Gra interestingly enough, did not write a lot of Svarim. I compare it a little bit to Rav Soloveitchik. Rav Soloveitchik always quoted him in Haggadah of the Gra. Rav Soloveitchik didn't write a lot of Svarim in his life because he was a perfectionist and he wanted to make sure it was perfect. And since the Rav has passed away, oh my God, there's been so many writings about the Rav's Torah. The Gra as well. He didn't write, he had a lot of glosses that he wrote. They found the Svarim and they took those glosses and the Bir HaGra, the Chulu. So the Maaser Rav is stories that of the Gra. So here's the story of the Gra. Ein livchais biyom Rosh Hashanah. You're not allowed to cry in Rosh Hashanah, says Maaser Rav. Simon Reish Zayin. Kimivur benechemya veharaya, it's in Tanakh. We just read it. Al titablu v'al tivchu, right? Ched vasayom l'Hashem. Lachain hikpid ha-gra she'ashliach zibur yomar ha-kadosh benigun l'kovad yantif. He says, so, according to the Gra, when the Baal Tefillah got up there and gave that stirring Yiskata, and then everybody's like, you're like, you can't. He says, no, you're not allowed to do that. He says, do a yantif nigun.
Can I do my impression of the chazan at Slichos of the Kotel doing Kaddish?
Okay. Wow. Let me have a drink for a moment. We won't say your name so the Wayu Torah people won't know who you are. Go ahead. Yeah, you need to do chew over that, because I know you're talking about it. I know you're talking about it. So the Gra would say, right, on Rosh Hashanah, are you crazy? What are you doing? Maybe, we'll see. I'll send you the link. So, Rabbi Isai, what do you do? Says the Maaser Rav, no, you can't do that. So that's the Gra, that's side number one. You have a question? Go ahead.
What about crying for joy?
Oh, beautiful. Now we got a real Shana Bat. We just distinguished between Shana Aleph and Shana Bat. I need more information. What do you mean? Crying for joy. What does that mean?
It means what if crying usually comes from an extreme emotion, anger, sadness,
right?
Joy. So if you're overjoyed with something, you're also going to cry with happiness, right? You see people, oh, like when there's a newborn or people getting married, people are crying not because they're sad. Like,
excellent.
Oh, it's not at a wedding. Like, no.
Excellent.
Overjoyed. You're out of my house.
Excellent. Emotion. Yes.
You don't sound like how the people who they daven, like you don't sound like your friend. What he just did is not okay. What you sound like when you cry.
Okay, we're in Shana Bet here now. I like it. Very good. I'm gonna talk about it. Yeah, go ahead.
I would also argue though that once you start crying of joy, especially in tefillos like this, if you know what you're saying, there's gonna be a lot of other motivators after that.
So here's my belief. I didn't make this up. This Chazal tells us this. I always quote Rabbi Frank because he's the first person who taught me this idea. He's my Rebbe. He just doesn't know it because I never met him. I met him a few times. But anyway, Rabbi Frank brings this down. He asks your exact question. Why is it that you're at a wedding? I quoted this. I have this thing called Lessons from the Lave, which I know none of you listen to. But I do every morning. We'll send the link. So anyway, it's a 2-3-4 minute thing. I do a halachic thing once a week, and I discuss this topic very briefly, of course. And I gave the example. Unfortunately, I'm the one who's really sad. My nephew's getting married next week. Not that he's getting married. I'm not unfortunate, but I can't go to the wedding. It's in America, and quarantine hasn't changed. New. So the question is, you're going to go to the wedding, and my sister maybe is going to be crying. My parents are going to be right. The grandparents are not going to be crying. So, what's the question? Why they cry? My sister's upset that they don't like the challah? No. You have the bar mitzvah, crying. The bris. All right, I do all the time. You always see the father get up there. I promise I wouldn't do this. Right, is he upset that he had a baby? He's like mad at his wife? I don't know if I'm the father. Is this Jerry Springer? What's going on over here?
Oh, but you didn't see you are not the father.
So, yeah. So comes along. Guys, we got to remember. We're in front of that. So, comes along Rev Friend, and he says, no. You know what happens when you cry out of an emotion? Not when you fall on the floor and you hurt yourself. Emotional crying comes from the neshama. Our ultimate goal, and this is the whole point of Tshuva and Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, by the way, is that I have two beings, if you will, inside of me. It's not a sci-fi movie. I have a neshama, I have gashmius and ruchnius inside of me. I have a neshama, and then I have my real heart. And sometimes I don't do the right thing. And the gashmius takes over. And the Ruchni said, stop, don't do that. And you know that every single time I do Slach Lanu, do you know why we hit ourselves? It's a misconception. Sometimes Shana Bet guys take this upon themselves. They're like, well, I've done so many Averis, so here we go. Ready? Slach Lanu! you know, like, and they killed themselves. They said, I got to hurt myself. You're not allowed to do that. Rav Soloveitchik actually would stop people who did Slach Lanu like that. Slach Lanu is going like this. Neshama, open up. Get that other part out. The emotional crying is the neshama saying, oh my God, how did I reach this moment? This is amazing. I don't deserve this. My grandchild's getting mad. Wow. My son is being... My teacher told me in high school, you're never going to have any kids. Nobody's ever going to want to marry you. This is amazing. Right? It's hard to say. I just was talking to a Leva Torah alumni. He got married 2 weeks ago. I was giving my spiel to him. And I said to him, marriage is awesome, but when you have your first kid, like, I can't explain it to you. It's amazing. So you're correct. And that's actually, in a moment, we'll see the chiluk. I've got who just said, the Kaddish that we're talking about, or the Chazan that's faking it, that they hired, and they, he's crying because he gets paid to cry. I mean, I'm not joking now. The more he cries, that's fake. So the question is, stop it. Stop it. What are you doing? But the emotion, the rub in front of the shul, or that person, he's crying. Wow.
They do it silently. Like, they don't...
But you can... But the point is, forget about sign, it's just in yourself, right?
Right.
A person, so there's two types of crying. And I'm not saying that this second one is bad. The first one is that emotional crying. Oh my God, Chedvat Hashem, I'm close to you. I can't believe I have this opportunity. I want to be better guard. I want to get closer to the king. There's a second type of crying, which isn't so bad necessarily, although it's not Rosh Hashanah oriented, which is, oh my God, I'm scared to death, right? People cry because they're scared. Of course, you see, you know, obviously, you know, the videos that are done, you know, the movies that are done, you know, about the airplane crash, whatever it might be. People know that they're going to crash, right? It just comes to mind that movie, I don't forget what it's called now, the one that, no, on the Hudson. Right, Sully, right? So you see the people on the plane, and they're like, they know they're not going to live. It's impossible. There's no way. And, right? That's a fear factor. That's different. So comes along, I just quote the different sources here. It happens to be Teddy's the Yurtzeit of the Ben Ishchai. The Ben Ishchai says this as well. It seems to be a Kabbalistic idea. The Be'er Heitiv, for example, says, Ha'arizal nahag livchot b'Rosh Hashanah v'Yom Kippurim. He would be noyeg to cry. Opposite of what we just said in the Gra. The Omar, ki mi she'eino boche. Listen to this. This is crazy. Mi she'lo boche b'yomim elo. Ein nishmato tova ushlema. There's something wrong with you. Check your yichus at the door. You might not be Jewish. You know, like that guy. You invite him out for cholent, and he's like, I don't eat cholent. You're like, you don't eat cholent? Okay, we got a terrorist here. What's going on? Somebody's infiltrating. Either he's Sephardi or what's going on here? So he says, if he doesn't cry, right? We have herring. Like,
who? Did you get the cholent from the?
So come, shut up, it. So it comes along, the Arizal, and he says, a person who doesn't cry, ein nishmasel tova shlema. The gamomer, misha boiche, az mi atzma b'chir gedoyla mi alav, oita shor divim lo, bebeistino shalmalo, v'nefashu miragesheth bo, ha b'chir mi alav. There are different types of crying. And the Kaf HaChaim writes this as well. Kaf HaChaim, one of the Sephardi poskim, Rav Yaakov Chaim Sofer, says the following. Kosov Arizal noig moiri, the Arizal, livchois harbe b'tfilas Rosh Hashanah, ki mi she'ein b'chiyah nofelas alav, b'yomim elo, hu hora she'ein nishmato shona. I'm not changing. The neshama changing, that's the key, that's what we want. We talked about this by, you know, the idea on, not that many weeks ago, on Tisha B'Av. Do you care about the basic thing? You know how you show you care? You cry. That's the hardest thing in the world. Right? Because it happened almost 2,000 years ago. But if it's your own life, if you're really taking it seriously, you'll cry over it. Now, this isn't so fair, because we know there are different people in the world. Right? You have people who have very hard personalities, and they never cry ever about anything. Right? And now this sounds surprising if you will start to know me, or you know me well enough. I seem like that person. Like, I don't care about anybody. I fake it that I want to know your names, and I don't really care. But I don't know what Mandelbaum's name is. So listen. The idea is that, but then when it comes to your own life, okay, I mean, that I'm going to cry about. I'm missing something. Says the Kaf HaChaim, Adam anoyful lo b'chia harbe me'ala, b'yomim elu b'tfila, hu hara nidani. He knows what's going on. He knows. He understands. Rav Avadia Yosef writes in a number of different places. One is in Yabia Omer. He writes in the Chelek Aleph. Ulefi zeh, gam yesh lechalek le'inyun b'chia b'Rosh Hashanah. Crying on Rosh Hashanah. Ben kishahaya zman, beis hamigdash on zman hazeh. Miyo ein, delo noigim ela, bezman hazeh, asr li'isanos. We know today, there's a question, maybe you should fast on Rosh Hashanah. How can we not fast? That's a crazy day. Umemeila gam le'inyun b'chia, ein lufkois. He says, maybe it's better not to, like the Gra holds. Now, he'll explain that in Yechavadat. He'll see that it's a little bit different. But let me explain to you one thing. Chuvas v'hanagas. Chuvas v'hanagas is Rav Moshe Shtermach. Moshe Shtermach is the head of the Goyin Av Beistin of the Eda Charedas. He's quite an older man. My kids just actually bought me for my birthday his Sefer on it's actually in English, Tuv Tam on the Parsha. And he's very, very famous. Some would say infamous because he's well known. He's like, the Dats Eda Charedas are the ones that organize those big rallies and against Gius and all those other things. Okay, not for now. But in any case, he's a great Goyin Adir. I love his tshuvas. And in Chelek Bet, he has a fascinating tshuva. He writes in a sefer that he's the Nin V'Neched. He is a direct descendant of the Gra himself. So he has a problem with what the Gra says, and therefore he finds himself having to defend how the Gra can write, you can't cry. So he writes like this. Don't we know the Dover Kodesh of the Arizal? So we're assuming, which we're already getting there, that, come on, this isn't a machlokes. It's not one of those classic machlokesim between the Gra and right? It's, you know, the Chassidim like one thing and it, no, he says. He says like this, so beautiful. He says, Nishalti, I was asked, the Farish Divrei HaGra, against the Arizal, it seems like. That, about crying. V'ladati ha'dvarim pshutim u'barur. B'vadai roi livchois, of course you should cry. Shas tefila mekabel yoter. God says, right? We say this in the slichos. We say this, I think, in kinos also. Hashem holds our bechios in a kli. Ninal shari tefila. We're living in a generation where Hashem has his presence here in Eretz Yisrael is more than anywhere in the world, but it's diminished. We don't see it because of the lack of the Beis Hamikdash. And our tefilos, whatever this means, is not makabel the same way, but shar demois. He's got a soft spot for that, right? When you have children, you'll understand a kid comes up to you crying for something. It's a hard one. It's a hard one. Unless you know they're faking it. That's what my job is. I used to be a salesman. So, he goes, a person who cries, the Zohar Kaddish is saying, Sha'al demois, Sha'al Kaddish Baruch, Be'al Kaddish Baruch, Mit'alech Chemla. Wow. This guy gets it. Uvazor Sha'al demois, Sha'al Kaddish Baruch, Lo Mecharish. I can't say no to Pazuk Sha'al Sha'al Lo Lepchia. Bitzvilo rakish shemosha kareya b'sefer Torah. Let's go back to what was going on. They were crying in Nehemiah about the sefer Torah that opened and said, "Oh my God, look what he's talking about. These mitzvahs, we don't do any of them. We only do averus. We're dead. God's going to kill us. He's going to mow us down." That the Gra says, it's not the time for that. And that's what Nehemiah and Ezra were saying to them. Go home, not for now. We'll do tshuva later. It's Rosh Hashanah. Recognize the day. So then he says, if it's stam b'chia, mishum pachad ve'ema, oh my God, I'm going to get killed. I don't deserve anything. God's going to kill me. Aval, im b'tzfilo shoyfech libo boiche, halo lo mit atzev. Rak adarab ha'az, chedvat b'libo. You're getting closer to Hashem. That's awesome. That's exactly what you were saying. Umistavre amina de'afilo ha'gra. Even according to the Gra, you can cry during davening. We just read that Maisa Rav says you can't. Wait, he'll defend it. Aval betzfilo shemit palav hislavus v'shochet demos gam hagra moda that would be mutter. And the Mishnah Berurah already brings this that we saw that there are those that do cry, and then he says, "Guess what? I found the a maimer shekasov b'sefer harav Yosef Zundel Salant. Rav Salant was one of the Rav Shmuel Salant was the chief rabbi of Yerushalayim." As the state was being founded, before that, way before that, Rav Yosef Zundel was one of the great rabbis. And he writes, Inyan Bechia, he says, I have likutim mihagra, that you're allowed to cry in Rosh Hashanah if it's honest crying for the reason that I want to get closer to Hashem. And that's what Rav Avadia Yosef writes. He has a long tshuva, not for now, in Yechavadat, where he writes the same basic idea, that there's different types of crying. And the Gra, you know what he was against? He was against, as Rav Chaim Volozhin writes, obviously, one of the chief Talmidim, Shekishe ba lo habachia mi atzmo mirov devekos vaKadosh Baruch Hu zevadai mutter. Even according to the Gra, aser who bimisha mivi atzmo hachazonim leorer. They bring themselves to it. They bring a little onion, and they, when Kaddish starts right before, you know what they do, they take the onion out and they go like this to their eyes. And they start to tear, and then like in a movie, right? They always ask, how are you a good actor? Can you cry, can you cry like this? It's fake. The whole thing's fake, right? All this today, it's so difficult because we watch these videos, especially now with reality and YouTube, and we think this is all. Oh my God, that's real. She didn't know about that. Oh my God, the guy was hiding in there. It's all made up. All this stuff is ridiculous, right? Storage wars. You think they don't open the thing up before, right? It's such a olam hashaker that we see. Right, storage was amazing. We were on. I'll tell you why. No, because we were on vacation a few weeks ago, and we don't have TVs in our house. And they had a big TV there, the place we went, with Netflix, which unfortunately I got introduced to, which is a horrible Yetzara. It's a horrible Yetzara. And no, so I was trying to find something for my kids. It's very hard to find them. So the Storage Wars was like. Right, even though they're cursed, there's a lot of meaning. They take the cursing out, but it wasn't appropriate. But I was trying to explain to my kids, this is all fake. You think they don't? I don't know. I don't buy the whole thing. In any case, it's TV, whatever. Well, what's the point? What am I trying to get at? If it's fake, if the guy fakes it, there was a famous member of Knesset now who's very famous, who got caught on a video crying about whatever. I don't want to say. I don't want to give too many details. It's not nice. But he was crying about a famous rabbi's yahrzeit, and at the commercial. They took a video of him taking onions and chopping them up so he could pretend like he was really crying. It's very sad. Anyway, he got in a little trouble, but of course he gets out of everything. Anyway, so comes along. Rav Avadya says the same thing over here. He has a long tshuva on this. He says, if it's real, as we just learned by Rav Chaim Volozhin, then it's totally fine. Because it shows you you're close. We don't have so much time anymore, so I'm not going to bring you. I have a beautiful idea from the Sifsei Chaim, Rav Chaim Freelander, who brings us on a little bit of a different level. And again, you have to go to lunch, so we will stop in a moment. But just understand that the Sifsei Chaim, Rav Chaim Freelander, I'm sorry, I said called the Sifsei Chaim, I'm sorry, the Shefa Chaim brings down the godless of this day and the possibility that it has for a person. And it's something to think about. That type of crying is actually not at all a bad thing. It's a level to reach. And I challenge you to that. That you're so close with the Ribbono Shel Olam, that is actually a happy cry almost. It's hard to say that. It's like a happy crying. You feel amazing about yourself if you actually can reach a level saying, I want to be closer to you. I don't know how. Right? It's real. I'll end with this. It's real, like, I need you. The highest level of Rosh Hashanah is to put your hand out. I'm in the garbage pot. I need you, God, so badly. Please, I'm begging you. And you lift your hand up. And by the way, Ashpot is spelled Aleph, Shin, Pei, Aleph. Ashpot, right? Aleph, Shin, Pei, Tat, sorry, Tav, is the same Rosh Yetevot as Tav, Shin, Pei, Aleph. This year is the year of the garbage. What do I mean? This is the year where we were hit the hardest we ever were hit in our lives, in many people's lives, with this corona thing, and our lives totally changed, and everything, look at me, behind this thing, right? Everything changed. You know how you get out of it? You say to God, I'm in the darkest garbage heap. That's when Hashem gets you. We say every day in Ashrei, what do we say? Hashem l'chol hanoiflin. God says, I don't care how bad you are, how much you've fallen, come. And when God, you know you have a day where God will pick you up, you're crying out of joy. I can't believe I have this opportunity. My Father wants me back. That's amazing. That's what the idea is for this day. Shkoyach, thank you for listening.